Blog Talk Radio.
Got my walking shoes on. I can't tell you where I'm going, but I'm walking down this lonely road. But at least the scenery is beautiful. And no matter what I do, I can't stop walking, no. I know it's the only way to go. And if I keep walking, I'ma be okay, It's not always about knowing why. Sometimes it's all about knowing what. And that's enough to keep you walking every day. Yeah, I believe. But it's a dream that I ain't seen yet. Chasing a dream that I ain't dreamed yet. But I'ma meet it halfway if I keep on walking, walking, walking. If I keep on walking, yeah, I know it when I see it walking, walking, walking. When I see it walking, always waiting for something good to find you. But if it don't come, what are you gonna do? And that's why I'm walking, walking, walking. Gotta keep on walking, walking shoes. Hey, I tell you when you got a made up mind. The winter feels like summertime, In the night you see the light of day. Cause I've been blind for way too long, and you can't take my light away. Even though all my times I'm half the time, I get unsure and hope for brighter days. I never let it slow my pace, so knowing failure ain't an option. I've been promised and I'm on my way.
Step three, step one, step two, step three.
Walking shoes.
I was the light unto my path, the lamp unto my feet. These shoes, my shoes.
Walking shoes.
Walking to a promise. Walking to a better land.
I believe, but it's a dream that I ain't seen yet. Chasing a dream that I ain't dreamed yet, but I'ma meet it halfway if I keep on walking, walking, walking. If I keep on walking, yeah, I know it when I see it walking, walking, walking. When I see it walking,
for the blessing of life this day, Father. Thank you for the blessing of your Shabbat. Thank you for the blessing of your son, Yahushua HaMashiach. Thank you, Father, for welcoming us into your family, Abba Yah, and bringing us into a closer relationship with you, Father. We thank you for that. Father, we ask now that your presence, that your spirit that you set apart for us on the Shabbat day continue to abide with us, Father, as we have welcomed it in last night. As the Sabbath came in, Father, and that we continue through the Sabbath day, Father, that you stay with us a little while longer, Father, as we continue on this walk with you. Father, I pray now for my Ima, our Ima, that you continue to watch over her, Father, that you continue to heal her, Father, that you continue to comfort her, Father, that you continue to set your holy angels, Father, around everyone who is involved in her care, Father. And that, Father, as we know that you made the body, you created it, Father, so you know how to heal it, Father. Guide them in how to heal her body, Father. But in the meantime, please comfort her mind, comfort her soul, comfort her spirit, Father, so that way, Father, she knows, Father, that you still sit on that throne, Father, and that you, Father, are in control of all things, great and small, Father, and that this storm will soon pass, Father. We ask this in Yahushua's name. We do pray for that, Father. Also, Father, I pray for my brother, Shelael, that you look after him, Father. He just told us this morning that he was in the emergency room, Father, and we just ask, Father, that you look after him. And that you heal him, Father, and that you send your holy angels to guide and protect him, Father, especially on this Shabbat day and throughout his week, Father, and that whatever is going on, Father, that it be healed within him, Father. I pray for the continued healing of my brother Deuel, that you continue to uphold him and strengthen him, Father, and that he continue to get stronger every day, Father, as he works towards rebuilding, as you work towards rebuilding his body. I also pray for my Zakane Gary, that you look after him and that you continue to hover over him, Abba Yah. I pray for Zakane Ward, that you continue to heal him and hover over him, Abba Yah. And if I forgot anybody, please forgive me, Abba Yah, that I may not know about or that I may just have slipped my mind. Oh, yes. Pray for my daughter, Naomi, that you continue to massage that heart, Father, that is within her, Father. You pray that you look after my baby and that you keep in the way. Oh, I also want to pray for my brother Ariel and his children, for Sean, Shawnee, and Mackenzie, Father, that you continue to heal them. I pray for my sister Danielle, and I pray for the whole household of the Clappertons, of Safut Health household, Father, that you look after all the children, the little ones to the big ones and all in between, Father. And again, Father, look after all of us, Father, and in the ways that we need you, Abba Yah, whatever it is. I pray for my rabbi that you continue to strengthen and heal him throughout his journey, Father, that you continue to hold him by the hand and walk with him in this path, Father, that you continue to hover over him, Father, that you continue to give him every day whatever it is that he needs, Father, in order to take the next step, in order to make the next move, in order to stay on that path, Father. Look after him, please, Abba Yah. And if, again, if there's anybody that may have forgotten, Father, please forgive me, and family, please forgive me if I may have forgotten. But we just ask you, Abba Yah, to look after us, to continue to lead and guide us on this journey, continue to lead and guide us on the path, continue to lead and guide us on the way, Father. And Father, that if there's anything that we lack, Father, that we cry out to you, Father, that we lift our voices up to you the same way that King David, your son, your anointed, whenever he was in distress, Father, he would cry out to you, Father, as strong and mighty as a warrior that he was from his youth, slaying Goliath, Father, by your strength, not by his own strength, but by your strength, that whenever he was in distress, whenever he was in any ailment, Father, whatever was bothering him, he cried out to you, Father, and you answered him, Father. You comforted him always, Father. You always comforted him, Father, and you gave him a heart to accept whatever your will was for him, Abba Yah. So I ask, Father, now that we follow in that example, we follow in his footsteps, Father, to reach out to you, to cry out to you, and to bear our heart, our souls to you, Abba Yah. And also, Father, we open up and we share with one another, Father, because there is strength in numbers when it comes to prayer. Your word says one will send 1,000, two will send 10,000 a flight, Father. And Father, in this spiritual warfare, we have to understand, Father, that we cannot fight it with physical means. It doesn't come by books. It doesn't come by our own strength, Father, but the strength that you have, Father, the strength that you show through our weakness, through our ailments, through our afflictions, Father, the strength that you show, Father, when we are weakened, Father, we are battered, when we are bruised, when we are on our knees, Father, the strength that you show, Father, through those situations, Father. I just ask, Father, again, that you continue to look after the universal house of Yahweh, but in particular, this little house of Beth Yahweh in Baltimore, Maryland, USA, that you look after us, Father, and lead us and guide us, Father, to whether we go to the left or to the right, Father, use your yoke, Father, to bring us back and set us on the right path. B'Shem Yahushua HaMashiach, I pray. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered the truth. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Shabbat shalom, family. Shabbat shalom. Once again, it's your brother Ahabel with Beth Yahweh Congregation in good old Baltimore, Maryland, USA. And this is the fifth installment of Study to Show Thyself Approved Unto Yahweh, Todah Aki, a workman that be not ashamed, rightly dividing your word of truth. And today, family, we're going to talk about, should you require proof of spiritual information that you receive? And of course, the answer is yes, you should. One of the things that is always said and has always been said as long as I have been a member sitting under Gershom Ben Daniel is, don't take my word for it. Look it up for yourself. Go behind me. Check behind me. Study. Because that's your responsibility. The teacher's responsibility is to bring forth the information as Yahweh has led and guided him towards it. Now, the student's responsibility, those who are within the listening audience, their responsibility now is to go back and verify that information. One of the things, you know, as a real estate agent, one of the things that they tell us to do is trust the documentation. But don't trust it so much that you don't go back and verify that information. Because anybody who's been involved in the sale of a house, whether you're the purchaser or whether you are the seller, you know things come up. There might be issues with the title. There might be issues with some documentation. There might be issues with the lead verification. There might be issues with the HUD documentation. If it's a HUD home, there's all sorts of things. Buying a house ain't like buying a car or anything else. Anything could pop up. Something could be in the title. Something could be in the verification, whether or not the termite inspection was done or anything. Just anything could come about that could derail that. As a matter of fact, one of my colleagues at work is going through that now. Went to close last month. Another documentation, the piece of documentation was in there. So now the poor young lady has to wait a whole another month in order for the closing, you know, of this house. And not to get off all into that, but one of the things that, again, has always been said and will continue to be said, you know, have your tools handy to do this study. Have your tools handy so that way you can go back and verify the information by all means. If you find something in which any one of the moray at Beth Yahweh congregation has come up to be in error or something that is misunderstood, please, 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 I beseech you on behalf of all my brothers and sisters, come back and talk to us about it. Pull us up. Pull us to the side. Let your question be asked. Let the thing that may not be settling within your mind or within your spirit, let it out. So then that way, the truth can come out and unfold, whether or not it was something that, again, we may have said an error. You know, we need that assistance. We need it because the last thing that any of us wants to do is lead anyone astray or to be led astray ourselves. So if you come up with something, you say, well, it just doesn't seem right. It doesn't settle. I saw something in the word that reads to me a little bit differently, or I may have understood. By all means, bring it to the forefront. Let's talk about it. You know, the scriptures say, how can two walk unless they be in agreement? Well, the first thing we have to understand about that is you have to be in agreement with the Almighty. You have to be in agreement with him and his word. Once you're in agreement with him and his word, then we have to find the points where we agree with one another. So the first step is always making sure that we are in lockstep with our creator, the one who has called us out, who has anointed us, and who has given us a commission, and one that is a very grave and serious commission to be responsible for being a vessel of his use, which is not something that is taken lightly. It should not be taken lightly by the individual Moray, and it's not something that should be taken lightly by those who listen to his voice. So at any point where we may be in error, by all means, please, please, please bring it to light. You know, and again, it has always been stated and will continue to be stated. Don't take our word for it. Look it up for yourself. Study it for yourself. Take copious notes and go back and verify and vet that information and make sure in all you're getting, you are getting understanding. That has been the keynote within the congregation, I want to say, for at least 10 years now. Kanye Bina, and all you're getting, make sure you understand what it is. You know, and it's very important because one of the things that we are seeing in this world today, we are in the information age, and we are now moving into another phase of the information age where the line between truth and error, between what is real and what is not real, is going to be so fine that, as the scriptures say, the very elect, if it were not for his spirit to be upon us, that the deception will be so great that even his own elected ones, the ones that he has called out, may possibly be deceived. But we know what the scriptures, what Yahushua promised us with the Ruach HaKodesh, with the Holy Spirit, that it will lead you, first of all, and then it will guide you, second of all, into all truth. But the question is, how do you know if what that person is saying, how do you know if that individual that is being, that is teaching, or let's say you come across a YouTube video, or you come across something on Instagram, you come across something on TikTok, and trust me, as a person who gets sent this information all the time by different people, and I'm not talking within the congregation, I'm talking about outside of the congregation. And some things, when you look at it, it makes you go, it makes you scratch your head. It makes you ponder whether or not, you know, there is some validity to it, whether or not there is some truth to it, whether or not there is some spiritual implication or spiritual reference to it. What do you do with it? Well, first of all, here's what the scriptures say. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in Yahweh with all thine heart. And then the second part of that verse says, and lean not unto thine own understanding. 3:6 reads, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Who? Acknowledge Yah, acknowledge Yahweh, and he shall direct thy paths. But now, as one of the things that we learned last week, and we've learned as a theme throughout the scriptures, that seeking standing from Yahweh sometimes involves going to the ones that he has ordained or he has anointed as vessels of his word. You know, we saw that last week with Samuel, in the book of Samuel, with Saul and what he had to do. He said that when they were lost, one of the things that they went back and they did was they said, we heard that there was a man of God. Let's go to him and find out if he can help us find what we have lost. And, you know, if you remember the story, you know, Samuel, Yahweh had talked to Samuel 3 days prior to Saul encountering him and had a whole plan laid out for Saul's life. The question is, do we believe that? Do we trust that? Do we understand that, as my brother Shabbael has stated, and we still believe and state, we are still in biblical times. Do we think that those things stopped at the book of Revelation? Do we honestly believe that? Or do we honestly believe that Abba is still doing his work? Because until the heavens roll back like a scroll, and until his announced return has taken place, there's still things that need to be unfolded. There still has to be men who speak for Abba Yah. There still has to be prophecies that have to unfold. There still has to be situations. I mean, we're going through what we're going through within the congregation because we know, as you said, it was used to be stated by Rabbi Yaakov, troublous times are coming. So we have been making preparations for that under the guidance of Zakane Ward. Forgive me, Zakane. Aminah. You know, he has been guiding us along the way, and this isn't something that he just stated last year or during the pandemic. This is something actually, if we recollect, a few years before the pandemic, he had started seeing the handwriting on the wall and has been telling us, and has been leading us, and has been guiding us on the proper way to do these things. Now, whether or not everyone is taking it seriously, or everyone is really taking it seriously, taking it to heart, and following through with a lot of these things, well, that's on the individual. But one thing can be stated for sure, that we have been told, we have been advised on what to do, how to do it, and whenever there something new comes up, whether there's a change that comes up, you know, we're advised on that change, or any new information comes up, we're advised on that change. So hopefully, you know, we are listening and we are taking it to heart and following where we are being led with this. And again, you know, with all the information that's just being spewed out right now, and I personally believe that it's being spewed out for the purpose of causing confusion among the masses. You have all these ways, and when I say that now, what I'm talking about is in particular among the quote-unquote woke Hebrew Israelite community, I mean, there's so much information that is being put out there. How do you know who to believe? How do you know what to believe, right? First, Thessalonians 5:21 says this, and let's go to it, right? First Thessalonians. 5:21 reads this, family. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna start from 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in Yahushua, in the Master, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. And he says, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. Seems like an impossible task, but you know what? It isn't. It isn't. And I can tell you this, even though what I experienced with my colleague may have been a little troubling seeing his slow mental decline, but the one thing I can say for sure that I took from what that brother was doing is he didn't walk out that door without saying, Father, guide me. Thank you, Father. He didn't make a step. And I really took from that. That because don't take every situation for granted. Don't take every... People doing routine things all the time find themselves in situations that they did not expect, i.e. going to the grocery store to get some chicken for your family. Some people did not return. Going to school one morning, some children did not return. And it's not to incite, it's not to instill fear, but it's to understand that every moment of our day, every single moment of our life, we need that protection. We need his angels to guide over us. You, regardless of what it is, there's no prayer too small to ask of Abba Yah. No prayer. If you're a parent, think of what thing could your child ask of you that is too small for them to ask, whether it's tying their shoe, whether it's, could you make me a sandwich?
or what is too great. I need help with this. I need help with that. As a loving parent, you're going to provide it. Same thing with Abiyah. So again, 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of Yah in Moshiach Yahushua concerning you. And then he says, quench not the spirit. Don't diminish that spirit within you. Keep that fire burning within you. Constantly feed your spirit with prayer. Constantly feed with, be in constant communication with Abba Yah throughout the day, through with his son Yahushua. Keep in constant communication with him. Keep that fire burning within you. Daily eat that word. Daily talk to Abba Yah. Daily communicate with his son. 5:20 says, despise not prophesyings. But this is the point. This is the point. 5:21. This is the point that I want everybody to understand. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. And 5:22 reads, abstain from all appearance of evil. But again, it says prove all things. And how do you prove all things? How do you prove things without then being a doubter or somebody without faith? Because the two aren't the same. Because the scriptures say, yes, to doubt is sin. To doubt what Abba said in his word is sin. But now, to require proof or to prove something or ask Abba whether or not this is his will that you do certain things in your life that you may feel in doubt about, by all means. You can ask Abba for proof. You can, and we're going to see by way of the scriptures that that is in fact true, and that's not saying a bunch of mumbo jumbo. One more thing. 1 John chapter 4 verses 1 through 6. Because this is important too, family, that we know and understand this is going on in the world. 1 John chapter 4, we're starting at verses 1. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of Yah. And this is important. This is one of the most important things to understand, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. He's letting us know, don't believe everything that we see. Just because somebody sounds very convincing on a video, very convincing on an audio, does not mean that they are not a false prophet. Just because they are quoting the word, just because they are quoting scripture, just because they are loud, just because they are boisterous, just because they may necessarily have charisma and style and flair and panache and all those things that may be very appealing, to the audience and sometimes us, when you look at some of these mega church pastors, they're very charismatic. They're very appealing. Otherwise, they wouldn't have the following that they have. Unfortunately, a lot of them are leading the people that are following them down the path of falsehood. But remember what Yahushua said: wide is the way that leadeth unto destruction, but the path that leads to salvation is a very, very narrow path. It's like that old song, all of the world is just a narrow bridge, just a narrow bridge, just a narrow bridge. And if you could just imagine for one second, you know, when they used to have those old adventure shows like Indiana Jones, or one of those type of shows where the people are going through, you know, through a very primitive area, and you have that one little narrow rope bridge where you can't even walk step by step. You got to walk one step over another step. You got to put one foot over the other, and you got to hold on to both sides to make sure that your foot doesn't slip off. That is what we're up against, especially now as we're getting into the next phase of this information, I don't even want to call it superhighway, this information tsunami era that we're in. Again, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of Yah, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of Yah. Every spirit that confesses that Yahushua HaMashiach is come in the flesh is of Yah. The question is now, when you see that other name out there and you see another name being associated with it, are those people fulfilling what this says? Because he's not saying JC. He is specifically saying Yahushua HaMashiach. Now, you might say, well, some say Yahushua, some say Yahusha, some say Yahshua. Okay, I'll put it like this. Gershon Ben Daniel said it to me one day when I had that issue, and he was like, well, son, they're on a path because at least they're not saying JC anymore. So hear them out, give them a listen, and hear whether or not that spirit that they're speaking of is in, and that spirit that they're speaking from is in line with the word. Because everybody's not going to be in the same stage of development and understanding as was the path with our congregation. And the history that I have heard or learned about it is we were once a Christian congregation. But look at where we are today. Look at how Yahweh has led us to this stage that we are in now. And who knows where he will lead us going into the future, but one of the things that we do know and understand that if we are obedient to him and if we continue to follow in the path that he is leading us, we won't be in error. And now when I say that, I'm not saying in the sense of we won't have things that maybe we need more clarity on. But as far as having the basic units of truth that every believer needs, yes. Abba has blessed us with that. What does the book of Revelation say? Have the testimony of Yahushua and keep the commandments. Simple as that. Those are the basics. That is the basics of it. You have the testimony of Yahushua HaMashiach and you keep the Torah. Period. Those are the two basic requirements for the Israel of Yah. Nothing else. First John 4:2, hereby we know ye the spirit of Yah. Every spirit that confesseth that Yahushua HaMashiach is come in the flesh is of Yah. And every spirit that confesseth not that Yahushua is come in the flesh is not of Yah. Why? Why is that a requirement? Well, one, if you don't believe that Yahushua HaMashiach has come, is risen, and resurrected, that means you don't believe the Torah. Isn't that what Yahushua said? When we look back to when Yahushua was first brought, I believe in the book of Luke, when he was first brought to them, one of the things that was said by Sister Hannah and Brother Simon was that this was the hope that Israel had for thousands of years, to see salvation being born of a woman having come in the flesh through Yahushua HaMashiach. Luke wasn't there when that happened. Luke was getting testimony from people who had been there and witnessed it. And even after Yahushua had passed on, had died and resurrected, one of the things that he said when he came back to visit them after having resurrected, after having ascended to the Father, he came back and spent time with his apostles. He said, I got to show y'all everything in the scriptures that spoke specifically of me from the Torah, the prophets, and the writings. There's something in every one of them about me. But I got to reveal it to you. I got to show you where it is. Just like when he went into the temple and he wrote, I believe he read from Isaiah 65, 65th chapter, and said to them, this day, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. It said they marveled at that. What is he talking about? But he came to the lost sheep of the tribes of Israel, hoping or waiting or discerning to see which one among them truly believed in what Moshe wrote, and what Isaiah wrote, and what Jeremiah wrote, and what David wrote, and what Solomon wrote, and what Ezekiel wrote, and what Yahushua wrote. First John 4:3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Yahushua is come in the flesh is not of Yah. And this is the spirit of anti-Moshiach. It is a spirit that is in opposition to the working of Yah. So, one, if you don't believe that Yahushua is come in the flesh, you are actually anti-Moshiach. You are actually working in league with the adversary if you don't believe that he came in the flesh, if you don't believe that he died and resurrected. You are actually on the wrong side. As a matter of fact, remember teaching a couple months back? Said the seed of Yah and the seed of the serpent. Y'all remember that teaching? And we were supposed to make the two lists and write something. Well, guess what that falls under? The seed of the serpent. 1 John 4:3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Yahushua is Mashiach, has come in the flesh, is not of Yah, and this is that spirit of the anti-Messiah, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now is already, it already is in the world. And we talking thousands of years ago. So how much more now, when things are really at stake? When the proverbial doo-doo is really about to hit the fan. We see it happening all around us. When? We don't know. But we see the evidence of it. 1 John 4:4, ye are of Yah, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What he that is in you? That he being Yahushua HaMashiach. What he that is in the world? He that is in the world is HaSatan. Greater is he that is in you, Yahushua HaMashiach, the Ruach HaKodesh that is in you is greater than the spirit of falsehood and the spirit of HaSatan. That's what's in the world. 1 John 4:5, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Let's repeat that, family. They are of the world. Who? The spirit of the serpent, the people who possess, whose father is of the serpent. And I'm not talking about actual physical descendants of it. I ain't going down that path. I'm talking about spiritual descendants of them. They are of the world, therefore they speak. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. So when you see on YouTube, and I find that very interesting, that Yahkel only has 120, and I know it ain't about followers, I know it ain't about likes. Hey, I get that, I know that. But 123 followers, I believe. Versus when you go unto these other people who are teaching all these falsehoods, all these lies, all these damnable heresies, they've got hundreds of thousands of followers. Why? Because they are in the world. Period. See, wide is the way. And broad is the path that leadeth unto destruction. But narrow, very narrow, is the way
that leadeth unto salvation. And what does he say after that? Not many are going to find it. Not many are going to find it. Again, 1 John 4:5, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. How much longer can you build on the Edomite? Okay, I feel like KRS-One. That style is old. God, going, we've known racism exists now for 400 daggone years. I mean, why are we still talking about the... First of all, racism has existed in America for 400 years. Racism all over the world has existed since the time Daniel's prophecy came out and said that the Grecians were going to come and subjugate Israel. Thousands of years we've been talking the same old stuff. The same old song, the same old broken record. It's time to move on from that, man. It's time to move on from that. What are we building towards? What are we moving towards? What is the end game? What are we trying to get out of it other than the Edomite this and the Edomite that? At what point are we going to move on from that ideology, that doctrine? And at the end of the day, what is it serving? But that's the niche. That's the hook. Why? Because, of course, racism does exist. And racism in America is brutal. And because so many of us still experience the pain and the suffering of racism, of course, it's a draw. It's a pull. But at the end of the day, what does it serve beyond that? How does it edify you beyond that? How do you move beyond that? Again, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. 1 John 4:6 reads, we are of Yah. He that knoweth Yah heareth us, even if it's just 123 people. He that is not of Yah heareth not us. Only 123 people. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You know, when we think about how Yahweh moves his people, when we think about how he moves, and I'm going to speak on this congregation in particular. One of the things Gershom Ben Daniel said many, many years ago, and I'm sorry if you get tired of hearing us talk about Gershom Ben Daniel. I'm sorry, but not sorry, because at the end of the day, there was a mark that he left, and there were things that he said, and there were things that were etched in our soul that we never forget. And especially when we see certain things unfold. And one of the things that he said was he never wanted a sign outside of our establishment to lead people there. He said he wanted the spirit of Yahweh to lead people to this house. Because once the spirit leads you to that house, that means that's where your home will be. And regardless of what transpires or what takes place, you're going to stay at home because it's home to you. It's what's real to you. It's where the voice of Yah speaks to you.
It's not going to be someplace that just catches your eye. It's not going to be someplace with a flashy neon sign. And when we do Abba, by Abba's will, get another place, the same thing will exist. It will have an address and an address only. But those who have his spirit, when they are sent out and people cross their paths, they are the ones who Abba will use. And I'm not just talking about the Morays. I'm talking about anyone that's a member of the congregation. And we see the evidence of that far and wide, people all over the world, that they will be led there by the Spirit that they encounter within an individual. But again, gathering proof, making sure that what you're doing or what we're doing is in step with the Word and with Yahweh. Another example. Let's go to Judges. And when you ask Abba for something, you got to be very specific. You've got to be specific. You cannot be vague. Remember what the scripture says. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. And it says more to it than that, but we're just going to leave it there. Because oftentimes, a lot of times what happens is when prayers don't get answered, we feel like, well, God, grumble God, God need me, he didn't answer my prayers. I'm God this and God that. But a lot of times the prayers that we're seeking, the things that we're seeking from him, again, do we need them? Is it a need or is it a want? Because a want can be associated with the lust of the flesh. Judges 6, going to start at verse 1. Read the whole thing, family. He says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of Yahweh, and Yahweh delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Our cousins, because these are Hebrews, Midian. They are cousins. Or maybe that they believe Midian actually is one of Abraham's sons, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, family, on that one, right? But if not, they're Hebrews. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of Yahweh, and Yahweh delivered them into the hands of Midian 7 years. Yahweh delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years because they did evil. And the hand of Midian, 6:2, prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. I was going to go somewhere, but I'm not even going to go there with it. Because of, never mind. Judges 6:3. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. 6:4. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou came unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. They was wiping everything, for they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. 6:6. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto Yahweh. 6:7. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto Yahweh because of the Midianites, that Yahweh sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith Yahweh, the mighty one of Israel. Do we see what happened there? He's going to send a mouthpiece first before he, will I do anything before I reveal it unto my servant, the prophet. So before he does anything, he sends a prophet, a messenger, someone who sees, someone who houses the seed, someone who speaks on his behalf, someone that he reveals his will to. 6:8, Yahweh sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith Yahweh, the mighty one of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you. and drave them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am Yahweh, your mighty one. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. They lived in fear because they were disobedient. 6:11, and this is important. And there came an angel of Yahweh and sat under an oak tree, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of Yahweh appeared unto him and said unto him, Yahweh is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if Yahweh be with me, why then is all this befallen us? If Yahweh be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not Yahweh bring us from Egypt? But now Yahweh hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. 6:14. And Yahweh looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. So not only is he poor, he's not no man of stature. Sound familiar? Same thing with Saul of Kish. Saul didn't come from a well-established family. Saul didn't come from a well-renowned family. But when Abba chooses you, he chooses you. And there's nothing you can do about it except accept it or reject it. And woe unto you if you reject it. There's nothing you can do about it. He doesn't choose you because you're the sharpest tool in the shed, as my brother once said. He doesn't choose you because you have diggity, diggity, dot, dot, this behind your name, this letter behind your name, or that letter behind your name. He doesn't choose you because you went to schools of high degrees. He doesn't choose you because you're eloquent of speech. He doesn't choose you because you're tall. He doesn't choose you because you're short. He doesn't choose you for any other reason than he chose you. And there's nothing you can do about it. Absolutely nothing. He chose you. And Yahweh said unto him, Judges 6:16, and Yahweh said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Hold up. Hold up. He said, show me a sign. And when he says, show me a sign, he means, we're going to look at that word. Let's look at this word. In 6:16, walk with me now to the Strong's Concordance. And we're going to look up that word sign. It's H, Hebrew 2:6:6, a mark, et. Et, alt in 2:6:6, probably from H225. We go to that. In the sense of appearing, a signal, literally or figuratively, as a flag, beacon, monument, omen, prodigy, evidence, mark, miracle, sign or ensign, a token. What are you going to show me? What are you going to give me? And that word goes right back to the root word of it. When you look at it in the Hebrew, ancient Hebrew lexicon, is the aleph and the tov. So he wants to know, is the et with me? Is this a complete revelation? Is what you're showing me, is this what I am supposed to do? Are you truly with me? Is it really you that is talking with me? Is it really you that is talking with me? Think about when the disciples were on the boat with Yahushua, right? Back in the book of Matthew. As a matter of fact, let's look at that real quick. Let's go to Matthew, 14th chapter, right? starting at verse 22, and it says, "And straightway Yahushua constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And at the fourth watch of the night, Yahushua went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit! And they cried out in fear, like Scooby-Doo. Ooh, ooh, it's a ghost! Ooh. But straightway, Yahushua spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer! It is I! Be not afraid! And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. So he asked for proof. If that's really you, are we not seeing a ghost? Because remember, the scripture said, that is no marvel that Satan can appear as an angel of light. So just because they're seeing a spirit up there, they're not just going to trust that, even if it does look like Yahushua HaMashiach. So Kepha asked for proof. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be, 14:28, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Yahushua. So he asked for proof. And the proof that he got is, I'm going to do a miracle with you, my brother. I'm going to do something miraculous with you. Since you ask for proof that it is me, I'm going to give you proof. And I'm going to do something miraculous with you for asking for proof. So yes, you should ask for proof. You should require it. Even if it seems like it's coming from Yahushua. Be very specific. Get back to Gideon. Where was I? 6:17, right? So it's okay to ask for proof and be very specific. He could have said, Peter could have said anything, but he said, he swung for the fences. He said, if that's really you, then I want to walk on water too. And he said, come, all right, bet, no problem. He could have said, well, just calm the seas. He could have said, well, if that's really you, come on over and let me embrace you. He could have said anything. But he said, nah, if that's really you, I want to see you give me the same level of power to walk out there on that water with you. And Yahushua said, not a problem. I got you. Come on out. 6:17, Judges 6:17, family. He said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. 6:18, depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of Yah said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of Yahweh put forth the end of the staff that was in the hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of Yahweh departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of Yahweh, Gideon said, alas, O Yahweh Elohim, for because I have seen an angel of Yahweh face to face. Judges 6:23. And Yahweh said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. So now we see what Gideon was worried about. You're sending me out here to die? Because I'm not a warrior. You see what I'm doing? I'm gathering wheat. I'm in the threshing floor. He's more in line with doing what a baker does than what a warrior does. And here comes this angel coming to him under some oak tree saying, yo, you're gonna fight on behalf of me, and you're gonna get Israel out of the hand of the Midianites. He's like, no way, Jose. Just like if an angel came to me and said, right now, how about you're gonna go out there and you're gonna fight a serious battle with your hands, your fists, your feet, your sword, your gun, blah, blah, blah. You're gonna do all that. I'm like, me? I ain't even been in the military. You got other brothers that have been in the military that know how to fight. I don't know nothing about no fighting, not no fighting, no war. I ain't been through no basic training. I ain't did none of that. I could barely run around a block. I could barely walk up a flight of stairs. I can't tell you the last time I threw my fist at somebody's face. So how you going to send me out there to go fight some battle? I'm going to be like, nah, I need proof. You got other brothers out there who could fight this battle. I know three brothers in the congregation that are trained warriors. Trained to shoot a gun. Trained to in Mortal Kombat. That's not me. The closest I ever came to that was playing football and doing a little bit of jive martial arts. I never, never, maybe a little bit of, never, never. So I'm going to be like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. You want me to do what? There's nothing wrong with that. Judges 6:23. And Yahweh said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto Yahweh and called it Yahweh Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophir of the Abiezrites. Now that is when the writer was writing it that day. 6:25. And it came to pass the same night that Yahweh said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto Yahweh thy mighty one upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as Yahweh had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. Look, Yahweh turned him into a special ops person just that fast. He went and did a clandestine operation, and Yahweh just called him out. See what Yahweh can do with you if you let him? And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it. And the second bullock was offered up upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who had done this? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, had done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son that he may die, because he has cast down the altar of Baal, and because he has cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will you save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death. Wills it yet this morning? If he be a mighty one, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore, on the day 6:32. Therefore, on that day he called him Yerub Baal, saying, "Let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar." 6:33. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the East were gathered together and went over and pitched it in the valley of Jezreel. 6:34. But the spirit of Yahweh came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all of Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher and unto Zebulun and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. 6:36, and this is where we get into the heart of it now. And Gideon said unto Elohim, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. He was very specific in what he asked. He said, I'm going to get this fleece, I'm going to put it on the ground, and I want all the earth around it to be dry. But I want the fleece to be wet. I want the dew to be on the fleece only. Be very specific. Be very detail-oriented at times with your prayer to Yah. Be very specific. Ask for proof. There is nothing wrong with that. Otherwise, this story and stories like this would not be in the scriptures. These accounts would not be in the scriptures if it weren't for the fact that he wants us at times to do this. Why? Because they are very false. There are many false spirits and false prophets that are out there in the earth. So just because an angel of light is coming to talk to you, or what appears to be an angel of light is coming to talk to you, doesn't mean that you should just trust that it's an angel of light. He already told us they're going to be ravenous wolves in sheep's clothing. He's going to be dapper. He's going to be dressed in a manner in which you'll never suspect that he is the wolf. He wants you to think that he is a lamb when he's talking to you. He don't want you to know that he wants to devour you. He wants to lure you in little by little by little until you're so close that you are in reach of his canine teeth. And once he's got his canine teeth sunk deep into your flesh, then he knows he got you. And he's going to rip you apart, tear you apart, because that's what wolves do. 6:36, and Gideon said unto Elohim, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. 6:38, and it was so, for he rose up early on the morn and thrust the fleece together and wring the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon, 6:39, said unto Elohim, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. So give me one more time. Don't be angry with me, please. I just need to know for sure, because my life and the life of others are going to be at stake. If I do not know for sure if what I am doing or what I am hearing is coming from a true angel of the Most High or a true messenger of the Most High. Am I really hearing the truth right now? Am I really speaking to a messenger of Yah? 6:39, Gideon said unto Elohim, let not thine anger be hot against me. Don't be angry with me, please. But I need to know for sure. And I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry upon the fleece, and upon all the ground, let there be dew. So now he wants the opposite. I want everything around the fleece to be soaking wet with dew, but I want the fleece to be dry, which is if the fleece is out there at the time that dew forms, that's almost an impossible thing for it to have. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. And he says, let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground, let it be dew. What he reads, and Elohim did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. So the moral of the story is, family, and I'm not staying with everybody long today, the moral of the story is, it's not wrong to ask for proof. It's not wrong to ask for verification. As a matter of fact, it is your duty when you feel like there is a spirit that has come to speak with you, or you feel like that there's a messenger that has been brought forth to you, it is your duty as someone who has been entrusted with your own soul to go back and gather proof. One last thing to leave y'all with. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 1, and I'm done after this. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous,
boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of Yah. And again, this is the hardcore part of the matter. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Shalom. If anybody has any questions, any comments, or if you feel like something, your brother Ahabah said there was an error that I need to be checked on, by all means, check the brother. If you got any questions or anything that wasn't clear, by all means, check the brother, please. I require that of you as someone that loves me. Please do so. Blessed are you, Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin, unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Abba Yah, we thank you for the blessing of your word today, Abba Yah. We thank you, Father, for always leading and guiding us, Father, in the path of truth and righteousness. Father, as we continue on this Shabbat day, Father, I pray for my brother who is coming forth today, my brother Ariel, that you open his mind, that you open his heart, Father, that you part his lips, Father, that he could speak the words of Yah as you so choose to use him as your vessel, Father. I also pray again for all my brothers and sisters that are ailing. I pray now, Father, that your spirit of mercy be upon us, Father. That your grace be upon us, Father. That your loving kindness, Father, be the motivating factor, Father, when you look upon us, Father. We pray, Father, that as we continue on our journey in your word, Father, that you see the reflection of your son, Yahushua HaMashiach, in all of us, Father. And that one day, Father, that when we close our eyes, Father, that the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," will be said unto all of us, Father. Because, Father, at the end of the day, Father, we want to be in your kingdom, Father. We want to dwell with you, Father. We see that things are moving in a direction, Father, in which we know that this world is ending and the world to come is beginning, Father. And we look forward to that time, Father, in which we will be closer to you, Father, that all that we have faith in, that all that we have hoped for, Father, in serving you, Father, that we will be able to behold with our own eyes, Father. These things, Father, we ask you to hedge us up this week, Father, and not to worry about the things that are taking place in the world, Father, but to keep our eyes steadfast on you and your will, Father, and that your word continue to be a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. Beshem Yahushua HaMashiach. Shalom, family. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Sit back and say, remember my ways. Oh, I like it out of my cage. Yes, I am a slave. Searching for some freedom, searching for some freedom, so